Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Welcome back to another week of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart with Brian Myers. And Brian, you didn't get out to the fair.
Well, I could have.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brian is not a real Iowan.
Oh. I could have gone.
You could have gone, but you didn't.
My wife and daughter went. I just, you know.
So you were there by proxy, right?
You were there by proxy?
Well, in a sense, they spent my money, so I guess.
There you go. I mean.
Okay. Yeah.
So I was there by proxy.
I went twice, once to catch a congressional candidate. So I was kind of in and out, and then spent an evening, Tuesday evening, with Calvi and Cheryl dragging me through the Avenue of Breeds and through the Walnut Center that has the arts and crafts, and
dragging you through there.
Dragging, yeah. The Avenue of Breeds I like. The Walnut Center I could pretty much do without going to see the arts and crafts. Just not into that.
Look, I don't mind going there. The food is great.
Uh-huh.
But I go in there and eat all this delightful food, spend a small fortune on this stuff.
That's true, but you got to have something on a stick.
Okay. And now I will say this. I love going to the different free entertainment that they've got there. I've seen the Love and Spoonful there. I've seen Gary Lewis there. Forgotten who all else. That's cool when you go in there and you see these groups and you can see them for free. Okay. I definitely miss that.
Yeah.
But I don't miss just wandering around there in the heat.
Well,
spending more money than I want to.
I mean, true. I miss something this every year. I try to go pay homage to the butter cow, and I didn't do it this year.
Uh-oh.
Brian's like, what is wrong with you? gotta go eat an egg on a stick and go see the butter cow, man.
Whatever.
And bring some toast with you when you're there at the butter cow.
Yeah.
What in the world are we doing today anyway? Besides going to the fair to see the butter cow.
Right. We have a very special guest on the line, Ray Comfort. Ray is the founder of and CEO of Living Waters and the best-selling author of more than 80 books, including Hell's Best Kept Secret, Scientific Facts in the Bible, and the Evidence Bible. He co-hosts with actor Kirk Cameron the award-winning television program The Way of the Master, seen in 200 countries. He's also the executive producer on movies Audacity, 180, Evolution versus God, and others, which have been seen by millions. He and his wife live in Southern California, where they have three grown children. And he's also the executive producer of his newest film, The Atheist Illusion, which we're going to talk about today. But before we get to our interview, Ray, I'd like to play a couple clips first.
By the way, Ray.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Yes.
Thank you, guys.
I left my manner at home, so... Go ahead, play those clips.
That religion is just absolutely uncalled for. We are just mere things floating on a rock in space.
Believing in God makes no sense. It's to me, it's the dumbest thing.
We are not only figuratively, but literally stardust.
Are you an atheist?
I am.
So you're an atheist?
Yes.
Yes.
I am.
I need to know what to believe in.
Like what happens when you die?
Yes, I don't want to be a bag of dust.
Did you know that 54 million people die every year? People just like you and me who love life.
If you were shown evidence, you would change your mind because you're open.
Absolutely.
I think I am open to evidence. It just would have to be extraordinarily compelling, like out of this world compelling.
Has this made you think today?
It definitely has.
I'll definitely consider this
eye-opening.
Wow.
I hope I get enough guts to get myself out of this stinking planet.
You gonna kill yourself?
Yeah, I'd like to.
Can you see what you're doing?
Yeah. I'm lying to myself.
And then go ahead and play just one more clip. Clip
sure.
One.
I'm a 260-pound former professional boxer.
This is Matt Barber.
Ex-cop who's sitting here bawling like a baby. This is, bar none, the most compelling and comprehensive piece of its kind. I've never seen anything so comprehensive. Somehow you managed, in less than an hour, to make the case beyond any reasonable doubt for the Creator God. This is your masterpiece.
So, that was Matt Barber. That was pretty intense.
And with all that...
with all that, Ray, the atheist delusion is advertised as destroying atheism with one scientific question. Is this for real? I mean, that seems incredible. And you do this in an hour documentary.
Yeah. About 8 months ago, I went to a local college, and I was making a video for one of my publishers. And I asked an atheist one scientific question I'd never asked atheists before. And he changed his mind about the existence of God in a matter of minutes. And I thought, this is amazing. So I went to a number of universities, asked the same question, and got the same response. And it's one simple scientific question. And in the, what I've said in the past often has been like water off a duck's back with atheists. But what this movie does is it rips the feathers off the back of the duck. It really penetrates irrefutable scientific evidence. And by saying this, I know we're putting our ministry's credibility on the line, but it really is true.
So what prompted you to make this film?
Boy, like I said, it was an accident. When we got the footage up on our screens in the studio, we just thought, this is the best thing we've ever done. It brought us tears. So our agenda is to reach the lost. It's to share the biblical gospel with them. There are multitudes of people that have no understanding of what God did 2,000 years ago through the cross. We think they do understand it, but they don't. As you see on the movie, a lot of these people, when I say, do you know what God did so we could have everlasting life? Mm-hmm. They didn't have a clue.
Right.
And so we've got to take the gospel to them. And if hell didn't exist, our ministry wouldn't exist. It's because hell exists that I'm concerned for unsaved people because I love them, and that includes atheists.
So you were actually invited back in 2001 to speak at the American Atheist National Convention.
That had to be a real choice to bit of work.
How in the world did that happen?
Yeah, I shake my head sometimes. I wrote to them and said, look, I put out a little booklet called The Atheist Test, and it sold a million copies. How about letting me come and speak to you guys? And they said no, but they began writing to me. And their head man, their national spokesperson, a guy named Ron Barry, I said, would you have the guts to face me in a debate? I said, I'd love to. I'd pay my own way over. And I made the mistake of sending him one of my books called God Doesn't Believe in Atheists, because I felt sorry for the guy, because he's an atheist. If he's going to debate me, you better have something to say.
Yeah.
And well, he pulled out of the debate. A week later, he changed his mind. He must have read the book. And then I started getting abusive emails from atheists saying, you pulled out, you chicken. I said, it wasn't me, it was him. And I had the original emails. That roasted Ron Barrier, and they were forced to fly me across from L.A. to Florida. And that was so nice. They put me in a really nice hotel, gave me a food basket, a fruit basket. I had a taster come with me. And then... But they did treat me really, really kindly. They let me make my books available free of charge to their people. I ended up signing books for atheists and hugging Ron Barrier. And I've had this sort of love-hate relationship with atheists for many years. I love them and they hate me, and I've had access to speak to them, and it's been really wonderful.
So when this particular meeting was over, did you have, I don't know how to describe this, did you have a cordial relationship with a number of those guys after you left?
Oh, yes, yeah, I did. They let me speak for about 40 minutes in total, and it was a great thing. I just preached the whole gospel. So, yeah, love is very, very powerful. You know, I often send gift baskets all over the place to atheists and just say what they really care about. You know, and that speaks volumes. It's far more powerful than a 10,000-word sermon just to fill a guy's face up with food.
It seems like we're seeing kind of a revival of atheism. You look at, you know, upcoming polls or demographical polls, and it seems like there's a growing number of within our population that are religiously unaffiliated. either agnostic or they, you know, just come out and say they're atheism. Why do you think that is?
Well, the internet has changed a lot. When I was a kid and hormones were kicking in, if I wanted to see a lusty picture, I'd send a friend into a story come out with a magazine that was apparently tame compared to what can be got now on the internet with a click of a button. And so as a nation is given a gross darkness, the more hate for light or withdraw from the light. And so what atheism does is it gives a refuge for people who want to get into things they know are wrong. It's like a golden door to delirious pleasures. If there's no God, then fornication's fine. So is pornography, adultery, homosexuality. Anything goes if atheism is true and there's no God. But what we're saying is the ultimate wet blanket. You know, there is a God, and if there's much as lust, you commit adultery in your heart. And it's because there's, we speak to them because there are issues more important than personal happiness. If you're on a plane really enjoying a funny movie and someone comes along and says, we're going to crash any minute, you've got to put this parachute on now unless you want to die, suddenly there's something more important than your personal happiness and the joy you're getting from the film. And we're saying, hey, guys, unless you're righteous in God's eyes on Judgment Day, you're going to end up in a terrible place called hell. And this is credible. This is more important than a heart attack. So we have a message for these people. And also the other thought is there are men like Richard Dawkins and Lawrence Krauss who are Pied Pipers playing a tune this generation loves to hear. Atheism is a pretense that there's no God. And we're going to pull that facade back and say, look, all this didn't take place because of some explosion in space. It's ludicrous. Nothing cannot create nothing. Obviously, there's an eternal cause.
You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and on the line we have Ray Comfort, who is the executive producer of The Atheist Delusion.
Brian, Ray, I think you made an excellent point here moments ago when you spoke about the importance of discussing hell with people. Because I think one of the problems that we've had in evangelicalism over the last several decades is we're not talking about hell.
Yeah, we have men in pulpits that should have been plumbers or electricians rather than men of righteousness preaching the truth. They're motivational speakers who talk about everything but what they should talk about. Sin or righteousness and judgment, the reality of hell, the blood of the cross, the importance of repentance and trust in Christ alone. They're not doing that, and fill their churches with false converts. And so you get these multitudes of young people who are falling away from the church. And what's actually happening is, it's not a lack of evidence. It's the fact that Noah's Ark isn't as nicely shaped as young ladies. They suddenly hit their teenage years and say, boy, those curves are better than the Ark's curves, and they just turn from church and follow their own sinful heart's desires. And that's happening in mass because we've got a lot of false converts in the church, goats among the sheep, because the pastors, or so-called pastors or preachers, aren't preaching the truth of the gospel. So there's another thought that I'd like to bring up, if I may.
Sure.
As the church is finding itself in a bit of a dilemma, we have the choice of a baby killer or a man who lacks discretion. He's a rich man when it comes to, you know, becoming president. He's never had to use discretion in his life, and he finds he can't do that in politics. And every time he opens his mouth, it seems people are running after him trying to clean up the mess.
Right. He sounds like a never-Trumper, doesn't he, Shane?
Yeah.
And so it's a dilemma for us as Christians, and what I'm concerned about is that the church as a whole is forgetting that the agenda of the church was not to improve Rome or wherever they were. It was to preach the gospel because that changes the hearts of men and women.
Amen.
And I believe in having righteous men in politics. I'm going to definitely vote. I'm interested in politics. But we mustn't forget that if we go around the cycle every 4 years, we do the same thing. We try and get men that believe in righteousness in political places, and sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But our agenda isn't to get America back to the 1950s when you didn't lock your doors or your cars and kids didn't kill kids. It's to see people saved from wrath to come, and that's what the gospel is all about.
Okay. I understand you talked to Penn Jillette, the atheist from Penn and Teller fame. How did that happen?
Well, I was able to swing an interview for our movie with Lawrence Krauss, who is probably the foremost spokesperson for atheism in the U.S. at the moment. Richard Dawkins lifted his profile by continually speaking well of him. Well, I secured an interview with him in a hotel in Washington, D.C. during the famous Atheist Reason Rally. And in the room was Penn Jillette, much to my delight. And so we finished the interview with Lawrence Krauss, and he said goodbye to me. And I said to Lawrence Krauss, you know, goodbye comes from the old English gobbledygooky, don't you? He said, what? And Kingsley said, no, it doesn't. I said, yes, it does. So someone said, Google it. They Googled it and found that I was right. And people laughed, and they said, we've learned something tonight. That was just an interesting experience. And about 10 minutes later, Pendulette came up to me on the sidewalk, and we began talking. He approached me. He brought the subject up. And I got to share the gospel with him for 30 minutes. It was just amazing, and I was able to say to him, Ken, that famous video that you put out that talks about the reality of hell, where you said, if I was a Christian and I believed in hell and didn't warn you, he said, how much would I have to hate you not to mention that hell is real? He said, if a truck was bearing down on you and you didn't know it, the time would come when I would tackle you. And I said to Penn Jillette, Penn, I am tackling you now because I love you. I care about you. And this is no kidding. Within 10 minutes of saying that to him about a truck bearing down on him, he went to walk across the side, across the street, and him and his friend were almost hit by an SUV. There was a screech of tires, and he speaks about this on his podcast a week later about our encounter.
Wow.
There was a screech of tires, and he said the truck hit the pant leg of his friend. It was that close to killing them. And so we need to pray for these men because, as I said, you know.
That's a great story. It doesn't surprise me from what I know about this guy. And obviously, you personally interacted with him, but he seems like a guy that has he has a genuine interest in the truth.
Yeah, and he's very, very likable. I got on great with him. He's very tall, only met his legs, but he's very reasonable, and I pray for him daily now.
And we are almost out of time, so you can go find out more at theatheistmovie.com. Thank you so much, Ray, for coming
on
Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is
Thank you for having me on.
Very welcome. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates. Keeping your operations running.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Griswold of Modern of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029, and he can help you find a life insurance you need. Mission accomplished. Mission accomplished.
Oh, man.
Brian always tries to get me to laugh during when I do the read-in. And, yeah, mission accomplished there, Brian. That was good.
Okay.
We'll have the video of that, by the way, up at Caffeinated Thoughts Facebook page. Brian's like looking at me like, what?
This is not good.
At least I think you got video of that, right, Ron?
Hopefully I did.
Awesome,
yes.
Awesome.
Hopefully
okay, great. You guys have to experience what I get to experience on a weekly basis in here. But since we're on the radio, you just don't get to see it. Well, we got to give you a chance.
Some things
to see
are
it.
Not meant to be seen, Vanderhart.
This is. Well, anyway, I was at the State Fair, as I mentioned earlier in the last segment. One of the days I went to hear some candidates speak. Basically, I last year I actually went to the fair a lot to hear. I tried to catch all of the presidential candidates. This year, I wasn't able to catch all the congressional candidates that spoke, mainly because I just didn't want to pay fair entry every single day. I had to go in to do that. But I did catch Congressman Dave Loebsack out of Iowa's 2nd Congressional District. He's a Democrat, as well as Jim Maurer, the Democrat challenger to Congressman David Young. And Jim Maurer did something very interesting that I've never, ever have had happen to me before in 10 years of blogging, eight of which I was doing political blogging and going to events and doing interviews and going to press conferences. I got blown off. You want to play the clip of that?
Basically, I'm just taking questions from reporters right now.
So, okay, I write caffeinatethoughts.com, but anyway.
Okay, you can stop. So
he just takes questions from reporters.
Yeah, I guess,
not you.
Am I a reporter in a traditional sense? Okay, maybe not, but I am media. I mean, for crying out loud, we do this radio show.
Wait.
In the traditional sense.
In the old days, maybe you could make that argument. You can't make that argument anymore.
You're absolutely right.
In the new media, Shane, you are every bit as much
of
a reporter as any of those guys that are doing print media that nobody pays any attention to anyway.
Right. Well,
frankly.
I mean, yeah, I do a mix. Unlike, somebody at the Register who can specialize, I do opinion, I do news. Usually you either do opinion or you do news. You don't generally do both. Well, I do both. I'm the one primarily writing all the content. I mean, we do have other contributors.
And here's the other thing, Shane. I've done a number of these events, both with you and then also on my own, covering different events for Caffeinated Thoughts. Every time that I've been involved, either with you or on my own, the media has always treated me like one of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
They really have.
And they do. And it was kind of funny, after he blew me off, everybody kind of turned around. What were you going to ask him? I was going to ask him what his plan was to address the national debt, because he was basically criticizing Congressman David Young about voting against the highway bill because he thought it was too much money. Well, okay, if you don't want to cut spending in highway bill, where are you going to cut spending?
Right.
I think that's a reasonable question. I don't do gotcha questions. So, whether they thought I was going to be, I'm some conservative plant, I was going to try to trip him up. I don't do that. I don't do guerrilla journalism. That's not how I operate. Hillary Clinton had the transcripts of her interview with the FBI released. I haven't had a chance to read through them. Yeah, I plan to. I'm sure it's going to be delightful reading. I'm hoping maybe there's some audio to accompany that. Maybe should they break out into song and dance? That would be good.
I wonder how much of that stuff got redacted. I know some of it was.
Some of it had to be if they were getting in the classified material.
Some of it was.
Yeah.
I just wonder how much.
But one of the things that the New York Times actually reported today, pressed by the FBI, they wrote about her email practices at the State Department. Hillary Clinton told investigators that former Secretary of State Colonel Powell had advised her to use a personal email account. The account included in the notes the Federal Bureau of Investigation handed over to Congress on Tuesday, relaying in detail the 3.5-hour interview with Mrs. Clinton in early July that led to the decision by James B. Comey, the Bureau's director, not to pursue criminal charges against her. Basically, just in his memoir, Powell writes about the personal email, and he had taken pride in having tried to advance the antiquated technology practices at the State Department. But the Times indicates his use of personal email and Mrs. Clinton's aren't entirely parallel.
Really?
Yeah, thank you. That's an understatement of the year. Mr. Powell did not have a server at his home or rely on outside contractors as Mrs. Clinton did in her home in Chappaqua, New York. So, one of these things isn't quite like the other. I understand having an email that's, people generally don't know. Because obviously you don't want people, just any Joe Blow, to just be able to email the Secretary of State directly without some sort of filter. I mean, I get that. However, having an email server in your home. Oh, I want to add, though, even with private email, if there's ever a Freedom of Information Act, they need to be able to provide that, because she is a federal employee and that is a matter of federal record. So they can't keep that from the public either.
The big issue with all of this still, for me, we can debate from now until the cows come over the hill about whether or not she mishandled classified information. We'll leave that to the FBI and the State Department, the Justice Department to worry about. What has driven me bananas through this whole episode is she has denied over and over and over again things which the FBI found out were clearly not the case.
Right.
Or excuse me, she maintained something that was clearly not the case and denied the things that were.
Yeah.
It's clear.
It is clear.
She's doubled down on it. She continues to lie.
Yep.
And I'm still confident that she lied when she testified before Congress. Will anybody call her out for that? We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. By the way, you're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we were talking about Hillary Clinton. Moving on to one of our favorite subjects, Donald Trump. He had a shakeup this week with his staff. He basically hired Breitbart News Executive Chairman Stephen K. Bannon to become the campaign CEO, and then Kellyanne Conway, who was already part of the campaign since June, before that she ran a pro Ted Cruz PAC. Was promoted campaign manager. Paul Manafort originally was going to stay on as campaign chair, but breaking news, he just resigned.
Yeah, just this morning, resigned. Which is Friday.
Right, yep. So basically, Donald Trump said, I've known Steve Bannon and Kellyanne for both for many years. They're extremely capable, highly qualified people who love to win and know how to win. I believe we're adding some of the best talents in politics with experience and expertise needed to defeat Hillary Clinton in November and continue to share my message and vision to make America great again. I will say Kellyanne Conway is very good. I think she's very excellent at what she does. Stephen Bannon has never worked on a campaign before, and now he's suddenly heading the campaign. That's kind of mind-boggling to me.
This whole thing just really looks bad.
It does look bad. And this kind of also accumulates in what a lot of people were already assuming, that Breitbart News was in the tank for Donald Trump and has been for several months, probably actually longer than that, but it became more pronounced in the primaries when it seemed like they were just Ben Shapiro, former executive editor of Breitbart News, called it a privada. For Donald Trump, that's what, and he said that's basically due to Steve Bannon's leadership.
It's starting to look like the Drudge Report.
Yeah, Breitbart News has morphed into something I don't think Andrew Breitbart ever wanted. And it's a shame they don't change his name, because this is not the best legacy for him, what they've turned this thing into. People were suspect. It's a news source I don't even go to anymore, honestly, because I think it's so slanted. And it seems like they tout white identity politics and nationalism, and I don't see it as a conservative news source anymore.
But for the Trump campaign, this whole shakeup, complete with Paul Manafort resigning, and then, on top of all that, Trump comes out and makes this half-baked apology.
Yeah, let's play clip four, please.
Sometimes in the heat of debate and speaking on a multitude of issues, you don't choose the right words or you say the wrong thing. I have done that.
Really? Really, Donald?
Yeah.
No. Say it isn't true.
And believe it or not, I regret it. And I do regret it, particularly where it may have caused personal pain. Too much is at stake for us to be consumed with these issues. But one thing I can promise you, this: I will always tell you the truth.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Okay, the truth. Which truth, Donald?
The truth as he sees it, or the real
because,
truth?
Because, you know, because he changes his mind so often. And first of all, it was a classic non-apology apology. I regret particularly where it may have caused personal pain. It did cause personal pain. There's no doubt about some things he's, you know, and it was kind of more or less what he's saying is like, you know, for instance, he said, too much is at stake for us to be consumed with these issues. Let's not focus on this. Let's focus on my attacks on Hillary. Let's, you know.
The sad thing is.
Ignore all of this. It's happened in the past.
You know what the sad thing is? For a guy like Trump, this is as good as it gets.
Probably.
This is, for him, this was really, really a deeply heartfelt apology. I'm serious. Well, this is the most you probably get out of a guy like this.
And what I thought was amazing was the crowd response. When he said, choose the right words or say the wrong thing, they started cheering.
I know. It's cult like, of personality.
It's like, this is what's getting him. Okay, this might have worked. Not might have. It did work in the primaries. Mind-boggling as that is to me. Mm-hmm. It hasn't worked in the general election. The only reason, and the polls do seem to indicate the race is tightening back up a little bit, at least in some recent national mm-hmm. polls that have been released, is because of the bad news about Hillary. Nothing mm-hmm. that Donald Trump has been doing. Even though the last couple speeches he's given, the one in Milwaukee and this one here in North Carolina, in North Carolina, were certainly better. Okay, we know he knows how to read off of notes in a teleprompter. Hiring Steve Bannon, who's been encouraging him to do all that he's been doing, I don't see, if this is a pivot, I don't think it's going to be long-lasting. I think he might give some good speeches now, because I think Kellyanne Conway knows messaging. But I don't
it's
see...
It's too late.
It's too late. I don't see him stopping off-the-cuff remarks. I just don't. I don't see him stopping being himself.
And I saw Hillary make a comment about this on the news. She nailed him. She says, it's too late. She says, we know what's inside this guy. Now, that's a paraphrase, okay? I don't have her exact words in front of me, but that's what she nailed him there.
Yeah, and it's true.
He has shown us who he is.
And with her, I'd also turn a mirror on her and say, and you've shown us who you are as well. You just are better at staying on message than he is, but we know you're a lying snake, too.
Whoa!
Oh, did I say that out loud? Yes. I'm voting for the sweet meteor of death. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries with Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give him a call at 515-292-7141 or go to crosswalkcounseling.org.
And now it's time for our news rundown, otherwise known as
News You Can Use.
First up from Fox News. The Obama administration admitted Thursday that a $400 million cash payment to Iran in January was contingent on the release of American prisoners being held in the country, while still denying that the payment was a ransom. State Department spokesman John Kirby said that the negotiations to return the money, originally from a 1979 failed military equipment deal, were conducted separately from negotiations to free the four prisoners.
Yep.
The four yep. The four detainees who were released on January 17th were Washington Post reporter Jason Rezaian, maybe? Rezaian? I can't say that.
Yeah. Good luck with some of these names down the road here.
Yeah. I think we'll just say four detainees.
Right.
However, Kirby said that the U.S. withheld the cash delivery until Iran made good on its promise to release the prisoners. In basic English, you are saying you wouldn't give Iran the $400 million in cash until the prisoners were released, correct? A reporter asked at Thursday's State Department briefing. Kirby responded, "That's correct."
I have a feeling I know which reporter that is. I watched, actually, that briefing. And there was this one reporter sitting up front that's like constantly peppering him with questions. Like, I just want to say, you know, I want to look and see Kirby just like bore, you know, bore into his soul with his eyes. Just like, shut up. You know, stop asking me questions.
But isn't this classic? A $400 million cash payment was contingent on the release of American prisoners. But yet,
yeah, it's not.
We're still going to deny that that payment was a ransom.
It was. There was. Iran U.S. claims tribunal in The Hague that was set up back in 1981, and what this money amounts to is basically it sounds like Iran deposited money into a fund, and in return, United States provide equipment. However, when the revolution took place, that delivery never took place. So technically, it is Iran's money that they were giving back. But
look, at the end of the day,
but yeah, you don't tie money in with a prisoner negotiation.
They're calling this leverage. That's the word they're using. Leverage.
Yeah, you don't do this. Whether it's their, well, we could argue it really wasn't this particular regime's money anyway, but regardless, you don't tie money into prisoner negotiations. That's just common sense. All this does is embolden Iran.
Yeah, and you know what? Terrorists don't see the difference between leverage and ransom.
Right.
There you go.
They don't have the nuance, I guess. All right, next up from ABC News. Police in Rio de Janeiro have recommended that U.S. Olympic swimmers Ryan Lochte and James, Feigen, face charges of false reporting of a crime, a civil police spokesperson said. The recommendation follows assertions by Brazil's police today that Lochte, Feigen, and two other U.S. swimmers who said they were held up at gunpoint in Rio were, in fact, not robbed. One or more of the U.S. Olympic swimmers vandalized a bathroom at a gas station after the four left a party early on Sunday. The athletes broke mirrors and damaged other stuff in the bathroom. What's the matter with these guys?
Well, I'm just trying to figure out why they said they were. I still don't understand the story, why they would make up the story.
Yeah, they made up this completely ridiculous story in order to somehow cover up the fact that they were drunk and vandalized a bathroom.
Yeah. I mean, what I don't understand is, were they reported to the police? Is that why they ended up talking to the police?
As I understand the police were actually confronted them there at that store.
Gotcha. Okay.
That makes a lot more sense. And one of the officers pulled a gun because he felt threatened or something anyway, felt that that was appropriate action. And I think it got turned into this.
Oh, interesting.
Made up story that we all know.
We've got four knuckleheads here. That's for sure.
And frankly, I mean, the U.S. Olympic team, you know, should Ryan Lochte be extradited back to Brazil for this? No, I don't think so.
Absolutely not.
But I think he needs to face some consequences at home, maybe even saying, you know, you're off the team, period. You're not going to participate in Olympic sports ever again.
Yeah.
Because your conduct was shameful.
Next up from Daily Express. Asylum seekers in Germany are refusing to undertake work to counteract boredom. And they are using Chancellor Angela Merkel's generous hospitality as an excuse. According to Mayor Bernd Pohlers of the eastern town of Saxony-Waldenburg, the asylum seekers refused to accept the work that was offered to them after they arrived in country. The local council spent £600 arranging for the men to have uniforms, but were stunned when they were told that they would not complete it because they were guests of Angela Merkel. While asylum seekers are not allowed to work under immigration rules within the EU, they are allowed to do voluntary work. However, officials in the district of Zwickau came up with a plan to help encourage those without employment to get back to work and help them to become more accepted within the local community. In order to do this, they created voluntary jobs, which included a nominal payment of £18 for 20 hours work. But they're not going to do it because we're guests of the chancellor.
Well, which blows my mind. They're not allowed to work. You accept them into your borders, but yet you're not going to allow them to earn money for themselves. Instead, live off of your handouts. That doesn't make
and then try
lot.
To get them to do voluntary work.
Right.
That, I love it. Then pay them for the voluntary work.
Wow.
Okay, next up from the Baton Rouge Advocate. Now that the floodwaters ravaging Louisiana are receding, it's time for President Barack Obama to visit the most anguished state in the Union. Last week, as torrential rains brought death, destruction, and misery to Louisiana, the president continued his vacation at Martha's Vineyard, a playground for the posh and well-connected. We've seen this story before in Louisiana, and we don't deserve a sequel. In 2005, a flyover by a vacationing President George W. Bush became a symbol of official neglect for the victims of Hurricane Katrina. The current president was among those making political hay out of Bush's aloofness. If the president can interrupt his vacation for a swanky fundraiser for fellow Democrat Hillary Clinton, as he did on Monday, then surely he can make time to show up for a catastrophe that's displaced thousands. The optics of Obama golfing while Louisiana residents languished in floodwaters was striking. This is obviously an opinion piece from the Baton Rouge Advocate.
But was it their editorial? Do you remember?
I know it's an opinion piece. I don't know if this is the
New Orleans Times Picayune actually wrote an editorial saying it's time for you to come down here, Mr. President. They probably weren't quite as direct in their language as this was, but
well, and I didn't read the whole piece. That they had some other things in there that were sympathetic to Mr. Obama in some respects, but
okay.
Anyway, all right, we got time for one more.
You make it very.
We'll make
quick.
This fast. This is Todd Starnes. Opinion piece at Fox News. Teachers in Charlotte, North Carolina have been advised to stop calling the children boys and girls, according to a training presentation on transgender issues.
You should have this. This should have been next segment's story.
You're probably right. Instead, the progressives who control the Charlotte-Mecklenburg schools want teachers to identify the youngsters as either students or scholars.
Oh, my God.
We'll just stop there. You're right. This should be under. You can't make this stuff up.
I don't even know what to say. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment. We were teenage dreaming, front seat leaning. Baby, come give me a kiss. Put me on the cover of the Rolling Stone. Uptown, down home, American kids.
It's back to school time, and as a parent, you are ready. It has been a long summer, and you can't wait to turn in your referee shirt and whistle. The kids bickering really wore you out. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. The Proverbs say, a brother is born for adversity. But all too often, siblings have twisted this to mean that they are supposed to cause the adversity, much to the frustration of many parents. Conflicts among children are common, but they can also be a healthy means for them to learn how to respond biblically. One of the most helpful resources on this subject is the Young Peacemaker, available through Peacemaker Ministries at peacemaker.net. It teaches young people to understand conflict and gives them the tools to work out their problems. To help your child learn to handle conflict, call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Hey, do you want to take advantage of the marketing potential within social media for your company or organization, but you're not so sure how? Let me help. My company, 415 Communications, is a social media consulting firm that works with groups like yours. Go to 415communications.com or give me a call at 515-321-5077.
And now we've come to Shane's favorite part of the show. We are about to share a story that is truly unbelievable. Yet, you know it must be true because...
You can't make this stuff up.
All right, this is from San Carlos Park, Florida, from UPI. A Florida pizzeria's security camera was rolling when a postal carrier drove up to a dumpster in her truck and unloaded hundreds of pieces of mail.
She was done. She didn't want to work the rest of the day.
Louis Rondeo, owner of Louisiana's Pizza in the town of San Carlos Park, which is south of Fort Myers, said he was shocked when his security camera recorded a woman driving up in a U.S. Postal Service truck and dumping what appeared to be hundreds of pieces of mail into his dumpster. At first, I thought she was just dumping some trash. I didn't think much of it. But when she flipped the bin over, I could clearly see it was mail and letters. I called down to my wife. I said, check the garbage can. I just saw something really bizarre. Sure enough, she confirmed there was mail here from people and a lot of postcards. Somebody's missing checks and payments. There were bills. And I think there were some personal letters. The dumped mail included about 400 business flyers mailed out by realtor Warren Hudson. I thought that was ridiculous, and it's upsetting. And, you know, I probably spend about $2,000 a month in mail marketing, and now I have to wonder, has that happened before, Hudson said. Seeing the video footage, you know, she rolled right in here like she owned the place. I doubt it's the first time this happened. Somebody's literally throwing our money in the trash, Hudson said. The U.S. Postal Service said the pieces of mail were recovered from the dumpster and will be delivered to their intended recipients.
That time.
I guess the carrier has no more job, too.
I would assume so, and it's probably actually...
Well, do we really know that? This is the Postal Service, after
all. That's true. Technically, she should actually... what she did committed was a crime, too.
Yeah, it is. It's a federal crime. Absolutely.
It is.
So
I'd heard of this kind of thing happening before, but this is so blatant, you know?
Yeah.
Just pull up to a dumpster and just offload the mail. Are you kidding me?
It's like, I don't want to work today. Oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to get rid of it all.
I don't even know how. I mean, how do you classify that kind of behavior? I mean, it's just beyond stupid.
It is. She didn't want to be a postal carrier anymore. Just go drive the truck back.
Maybe she was having a bad day.
Oh, maybe. So then you just go drive the truck back and say, I quit.
Yeah.
Here's all the mail.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. Nowadays, there's security cameras everywhere.
Right.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
You see stuff on YouTube all the time that people, you know, years ago, they wouldn't have been caught doing this stupid stuff. But the security footage catches them every time.
Oh, yeah. You got that. Plus the personal cameras and the iPhones and Androids and stuff like that.
iPhones catching people doing crazy things. Yes.
No, the other day I saw some video where this lady's walking along the sidewalk, sees this cat there. And she walks up and kind of pets the cat a little bit and throws the cat into a dumpster and closes the lid and walks away.
Whoa.
And the thing's gone viral because they want to find out who this woman is.
Uh-huh.
You know, because, I mean, the cat probably suffocated or whatever. But, I mean, why would you do that? And,
right.
And B, nowadays, where again, there's security cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
Why in the world would you take such a stupid risk?
I don't
know. It makes no sense to me. Send your You Can't Make This Stuff Up ideas to story@caffeinatedthoughts.com. We'll give you the credit or the blame if we use your suggestion on the show.
Thanks, everybody. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll see you next week.
Take care, everybody.